This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening, and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is February 1st, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels to YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, Play Sportscast. Visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. Once again, I am joined tonight by Bob Alves, high school sports commentator, public address announcer, host of the Sports Cafe, and multiple other jobs and activities. I appreciate you having a little flexibility tonight, Bob. How are you doing?
Alan, always a pleasure to join you. And you can now introduce me if you want as jack of all trades, master of none.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in mind for another time. How about that?
That sounds good.
Well, I know that you're going to comment in a minute about my background again, but that's okay. The reason why I kept this background this week is because we had snow, but it didn't stick. And so I can look at this background, I can dream of what we're going to have during the summertime. Hopefully, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, though.
Bring it on. As cold as it feels outside, I actually feel 5 degrees warmer when I just look at your background.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to do that. I was taking a look at some of the men's games this week, and not only that, also we had the one of the biggest rivalries in college women's basketball history with UConn and Tennessee. And I was looking at even tonight's games, which they've been having fun, because I'm watching right now Marquette is only up by 4 on Villanova. Number 1, Purdue beat Penn State 80-60. Number 16, Xavier beat Providence in overtime, 85-83. We had the big upset of the night, Florida beating number 2, Tennessee, 67-54. Then Auburn beat Georgia 94-73. Tennessee had just gotten up to number 2 after Houston had lost last week, so that is huge. I don't think it's going to stop them potentially from being a number 1 seed, but that still is going to make it a little more interesting come tournament time.
Yeah, a lot of these teams, like you said, I mean, it's kind of like you're jockeying for position now. One loss might not hurt you in terms of, you know, a seed, but, you know, the things that we know from being around sports for so long is one loss can lead to 2, which can lead to 3, which can lead to a spiral. So yeah, I don't think you want to really lose at this time of the year, just because who knows what the ripple effect could be.
And actually, funny you mentioned that. Do you remember how I told you last week how we brought up how Ohio State's women had their first loss of the year?
Yep.
They've had 2 more since, so they're 20-3 right now. I just was taking a look at that before we came on, and I didn't realize that had happened, but we'll see how the rest of the year goes. But that's still, from going undefeated at the beginning of the year now to having 3 losses, there's still potential for them to be a number 1 and number 2 seed. I'm going to be a little more cautious, so depending on that.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about it on the drive home tonight, Alan, and I wanted to get your take on this.
Sure.
Why do you think we have so many upsets in college basketball? Is it because everybody is good, or is it because those lower – ranked teams are kind of playing with house money, if that makes sense?
Well, I'd like to think that it's definitely house money that's being played with, but you're watching every team, some games more than others, they're giving their best shot. They're making sure that, hey, they want to make it count. And I mean, I can give you some examples actually from Tuesday, where Maryland played Indiana and they won. Indiana was ranked number 21. It was 66-55. And then I was watching the Clemson and Boston College game But Boston College got the lead, and every time Clemson would try to catch up, they would hit the three-pointer, they would hit a shot, and Clemson was unable to catch back up with them. So they lost 62-54, whereas on the rest of the games for that day, all the ranked teams, other than, well, Kansas beat Kansas State 90-78, because Kansas had dropped to the 8th seed and Kansas State was a 7th seed. TCU beat West Virginia 76-72. Alabama destroyed Vanderbilt 101-44. And then you had Nevada actually upsetting San Diego State, number 22, 75-66. Miami beat Virginia Tech 92-83. And UConn beat DePaul 90-76. So right there you have 1, 2, 3. Technically, 4 games where the lower seed beat the higher seed, but it's just when you're watching for those games for the ones who won. 2 out of 4 of those games, they were the unranked team was at home. Right. And you're seeing a lot more each game, depending on if there's home or away. You're really seeing the players show up more and just try to, I guess, be present when they're playing at home compared to what you'll see sometimes when they're away.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. I mean, you know, I think home court and, you know, road games are definitely a part of it. I don't think people understand at any level, especially once you get up to the college level, I don't think people understand how hard it is to go on the road and win games. I think it is entirely, entirely hard. I mean, I don't want to say impossible, but it is super hard to go on the road and win games. And like you said, I mean, you know, sometimes on the opposite side, well, if it's not really the opposite side, because we talk about those teams that are comfortable playing at home. Well, guess what? The other team is going on the road to play those. So, yeah, I think the road home thing is a much bigger deal than what a lot of people may give it credit for.
Yeah, no, and I mean, games on Monday, you see 2 more of those happen where Iowa State is upset by Texas Tech 80-77. Then Texas beats Baylor 76-71. And Virginia was playing Syracuse and they won 67-62. And I mean, these games, Texas Tech was at home, Syracuse was at home, and I believe Baylor was at home, but it really just depends on every game. And this conference play, even though we have the tournaments coming up, just watching how the teams are playing every game.
Yeah.
It's not only which games are being played, but also which players are going to be able to play in the games. Because after the Virginia and Syracuse game, I guess Coach Boeheim, they were asking about a certain player.
Right.
And Boeheim was just like, really? Really? Okay, I'm going to get to that in a second. I'll get to that in a second. But I think he had 5 or 6 questions for that one player. And he finally was like, look, he had a personal day. He wasn't playing today. He should be back next time. And it's like, any other questions? No, no, no. Okay. All just for one question.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing you bring up Texas, and Texas, I think, is a very interesting story because Chris Beard was fired earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. So now you've got an interim guy at Texas, and I cannot remember his name for the life of me right now. I think it's Rodney something. But, I mean, you know, in that situation, you've got a guy who is – you know, even if it's Texas, I mean, you're still auditioning because if you do a good enough job at Texas, you know, if you get turned down by, you know, big name one, big name two, big name three, then you're going to be able to slide in there. Texas is not afraid to spend the money to go get somebody. But, you know, you've got to look at it. I think their number one choice is probably John Calipari. That's kind of a pie in the sky type thing. Then when you get to number 2 and number 3, you know, it's kind of almost like a where are you going with it, because you can spend the big bucks, but if a guy has already shown he can win, he is used to the pressure cooker called Texas, why go out and get somebody else?
And it looks like the coach's name is Rodney Terry.
Rodney Terry, yes. I wanted to call him Taylor, and that would have been a bad move for his family reunion because he wouldn't have been able to come in.
Yes. So, Texas, two or three years ago, had never put a Josh Smart in there before Kirby took over. So I am waiting to see if Calipari does come to Texas, because that has been the worst kept secret. But it's more just waiting to see what happens in the offseason, to see what he does at Kentucky. Just because with Shibue, how he's been playing, and just watching the different games. Although, one thing I think we can agree on is number one, Purdue. They're just running through everybody right now. I mean, they have only had the one loss, but they played Michigan State on Sunday and won 77-61. And then Providence, Villanova, 76-5 of Purdue, with Zach Eady leading the way.
Right.
They're going to be a tough team to play in the tournament.
I like Purdue a lot because, like you mentioned, Zach Eady is leading the way. Matt Painter knows what to do as a coach. You know, you got to think about it this way. Purdue had one of the best coaches for a long time in Gene Katie, and Purdue never won a national title under Gene Katie. So I think Purdue is a tough out, but you know, they've got one of the criteria, which is once you get into the tournament, you really want to have a big guy that can take over. And Purdue definitely has that part checked. I think they've got a good coach checked, but the thing we're going to have to see is how good can the guard play be in the postseason? Because a lot of people say center, you got to have a big, you got to have guard play. A good coach helps, and you've got to survive a game in the tournament, because very seldom do you see a team go into the tournament and have five or six blowouts.
That is true. That is definitely true. Although, one other thing, this weekend you had the SEC and the Big 12 Challenge. I don't know if you watched a lot of those games, but the one game that was, I would say, the highlight was Oklahoma upsetting Alabama. 93-69. I did see, just going down through the scoreboard for that day, number 3, Houston beat Cincinnati 75-69. Number 4, Tennessee actually beat Texas 82-71. Kansas State beat Florida 64-50. Arizona beat Washington 95-72. Virginia was able to beat Boston College 76-57. Kansas and Kentucky, through two blue bloods, played against each other. Kansas won 77-68. That game, every time Kentucky would try to make a run, Kansas was able to make the big shot and just keep them from catching up. It was I watched the whole second half, and I kept waiting for Kentucky to make a few more moves to where they could take over. And unfortunately, it just never happened.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last week, too. And, you know, I am not the college basketball expert that I used to be by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I do know a few. They're always, if you go to any website, there's always a few tips on how to fill out your bracket. Always play recreationally, by the way, people. If you're in a bracket, just be with your friends in the winter and go get McDonald's or whatever. But if you're in that bracket and you're used to picking blue bloods, you're going to be used to picking the Kentuckys, the Kansases, the Dukes, North Carolina, those schools, if they're in the tournament, no matter where they're seated, the Michigan States. But I don't think a lot of people really appreciate Alabama for as good as they are. Nate Oates is doing a really good job down there. And I don't think enough people appreciate Alabama, to be honest with you.
I can definitely agree with that. And going back into the scoreboards, we actually have 4 upsets out of the last 5 games. That actually, we have more than that, but TCU was playing Mississippi State, and in overtime they won 81-74 of number 11 TCU. Missouri upset Iowa State 78-61. Creighton upsets Xavier 84-67. Gonzaga beat Portland 82-67. West Virginia upset number 15 Auburn 80-77. Marquette beat DePaul 89-69. Baylor beat Arkansas 67-64. Hofstra upset Charleston 85-81. Pittsburgh upset Miami 71-68. Florida Atlantic beat Western Kentucky 63-70. St. Mary's beat BYU 57-56. Then Clemson beat Florida State 82-81. Those were two nail biters by 1 point for those last two games. This season is going to be just, as the tournaments are coming up, the games are getting closer. It just seems that the teams are really starting to focus more on getting the wins for seeding, even for the conference tournaments, if not just the NCAA tournament.
I think it's going to be madness for sure. And, you know, I think you do a great job with this podcast, but one thing that people may not want to sleep on is there are schools that are not in the top 25. I mean, you went to what I would call a mid-major school, you know, in Liberty University. Those mid-major schools, you got to watch out, because those mid-major schools, I mean, believe it or not, at one point in life, people, and you can read about this if you don't believe me, Gonzaga was a mid-major school. They probably still are to a degree if you just look at where the conference falls. But those mid-major schools are what you have to watch out for, too. And you talk about some of these schools that, you know, I know a team like Creighton and teams like Xavier are in the Big East now, and it's not a mid-major conference. However, people, when they talk about college basketball blue bloods or, hey, this team I really remember, people don't say, oh, yeah, you know, Creighton's been good for, you know, decades and decades. I mean, Xavier was that team that you'd always pick when you're filling out your bracket to pull the upset. So I think it's going to be very interesting for these blue bloods, because a lot of them, I don't think, want to see some of these mid-major schools. I don't think they want to see them at all.
Well, I know they definitely don't want to see Charleston, because Charleston, when they did lose to Hofstra, that's only their second loss the entire year.
Yep. And I'll go back in the time machine, because that's what the old guy does here. But there was at one point when Tony Bennett played at Wisconsin Green Bay, and I want to say he was still there playing. Wisconsin Green Bay was in the Mid-Continent Conference at the time, I believe. They were 25-4 and did not make the NCAA tournament because they didn't win their conference tournament. And when you don't win a conference tournament in one of those schools, you're in trouble. I don't think Charleston's going to fill into that area at all, but, you know, you better, if you're a team that's not in a multiple bid conference, that conference tournament is important, big time.
What we'll do is after we hit the Friday and Thursday's games, we'll look at the standings real quick, only because I know that for some of the conferences, like you're talking about right here, how we'll know that they're only going to have one bid. We can hit on a few of those just so that we can go more in depth about that, okay?
Sure.
All right, so on Friday, New Mexico beat Air Force 81-73. And then Thursday, Purdue beat Michigan 75-70. Arizona beat Washington State 63-58. USC upset UCLA 77-64. And Florida Atlantic beat Middle Tennessee 85-67. So, like you're talking about, for automatic bids, for the conferences I know that only have the one bid is the A-Sun, which Liberty's in now.
Right.
I believe the Atlantic 10, they usually only have one team that gets in. If they're lucky, they'll have two, but usually it's just one. The Big Sky Conference usually only has one team that gets in. The Big South only has one team that gets in. The Big West, I believe they usually only have one team that gets in. the CAA, which Charleston's in now, I wouldn't say they've had more than one team in at one point, but I know that usually the automatic bid definitely gets in. The Horizon League, you only have one team that'll get in. The Ivy League usually is in the same boat for that. And then one conference that always has a, I would say, competitive conference tournament is the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference.
Yep.
Because with Siena, Ryder, Iona, Niagara, Manhattan, Mount St. Mary's, those are teams that I would say within the past decade for the tournaments, they have gotten in and they've made some noise usually. Almost the majority of them have advanced usually almost to Sweet 16.
Well, you know what one of my favorite sports is? It's boxing. And if you're a boxer, you don't want to leave it into the hands of the judges. That's what I say with this whole, you know, conference tournament thing and everything I'm talking about is you don't want to leave it in the hands of the committee. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that the College of Charleston would get in because they're a ranked team and their record is so good. Mm-hmm. However, you don't want to leave it into their hands of the committee. Same thing. I mean, if you're anybody in there that's not in a big league like you talk about, I mean, Florida Atlantic is sitting at 21-1. The chances of them being snubbed, even if they lost in the conference tournament, is super duper slim. However, I don't want to put it into their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your business.
Yeah, I mean, just look through other conferences. You got the WAC, the West Coast Conference. They're going to have a few teams in. Sun Belt, I believe, only usually has one or two, if that. The Summit League only has one. Oral Roberts usually the one who wins there. You got the Southwest Athletic Conference, the SWAC. They have one that gets in. The Southland has one. Southern Conference usually has one. The Patriot League. They have one automatic. Ohio Valley Conference has one. So is the Northeast. And then the MEAC and the Missouri Valley. I believe those are the ones that have just the one automatic bid for the tournament, which later on, watching those, that's going to be the thing we'll be watching on ESPN almost every day. We'll see who has either made it to the finals, just because ESPN will usually show all the conference tournament championship games. And then we'll just start watching all those, seeing who joins in come Selection Sunday. Then we'll see the rankings and the first four in.
Yeah, you know, one conference tournament I look at that's going to be crazy is the ACC. And that's the, you know, conference of interest around here. But, I mean, if you look at, you've got your ranked teams, obviously. You've got Clemson, Virginia, Miami that are ranked. Your Blue Bloods of Duke and Carolina are sitting at 16-6 and 15-7 respectively. I mean, you know, Pitt's at 16-7. If I'm Wake Forest at 14-9, I don't feel good about my thing going on. Syracuse is 13-10. Man, I mean, you know, you're looking at teams that, A, the margin of error going down the stretch is getting into the land of none. Secondly, you know, you've got to at least win a game in your conference tournament. I mean, the thing about Syracuse is they have 8 conference games left. I think I said their record right now is 13-10. They could easily 13-18. And if that's the case, then, you know, they better win the ACC tournament, because in order to get into the NCAA as an at-large, you've got to have an over 500 record. If you get a, you know, automatic bid, I mean, obviously Syracuse's name carries weight where they're not going to be a 16 seed or anything like that. But I mean, still, you got to win some games. And I mean, then you're getting into a situation to where we're looking at best wins. And if we have to get into a situation to where we're looking into best wins and really bad losses, that's normally not good if we're having to measure the resume of a team. Seeding, it's fine.
But in terms of in or out, normally not good.
Yep. I mean, that's why right now for the ACC, they're looking, the top four teams are trying to make sure they keep their top four seed because they'll get the automatic bid into the second round. Because the other thing about the conference tournaments, even if you don't, for the schools that are the conferences that have multiple bids, it's how far you make it in the tournaments. Well, even if you don't win, because some teams, as long as they made it through the first or the second round, usually it's, I think, the first, second, or third round, as long as they win those games, usually it's almost an automatic bid for some of them, depending on the ranking that they'll get in the tournaments. Just because if you don't make that, if you're lucky, you'll be NIT bound, or I guess it was CBI bound.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're outside the NIT, nobody's paying attention to you. I mean, let's just be honest. The NIT is a little bit different now because it used to be those teams that win their league in the regular season, but if they don't win their conference tournament, they get an automatic bid to the NIT. So, like, for example, if a Liberty wins the Atlantic Sun, but loses in the first round of the tournament, they're still going to get postseason basketball in the NIT unless they decline it. So that helps out any of your quote unquote smaller conferences. Right now, UNC Asheville is sitting on top of the Big South. If for some reason Radford or Longwood won the tournament, UNC Asheville is just not shut out. So I think the NIT makes it more interesting that way. But yeah, I mean, these one bid leagues are going to be sheer madness. And you've got to think for some schools, this is their last year in XYZ league before they move on to greener pastures as well. So, I mean, we'll see. I was looking at the bracketology by ESPN and Joe Lunardi, and they have 7 teams from the ACC in, and nobody is lower than an 8. Nobody's lower than that 8-9 game. So that just shows you if you play in what we'll call a Power 5 conference. Well, let me not put words in your mouth. I'll call it a Power 5 conference. I mean, out of the Big Ten, you've got 9 teams projected to get in. Big 12, 8 teams projected. ACC, 7 teams projected. SEC, 6 teams projected. Pac-12, only 3 projected, but the Big East is probably a better blue blood in college basketball than the Pac-12, and they've got 5 teams projected. So right there, if we just take those top 5 conferences, you're looking at 35 bids right out of the chute. Mm-hmm. Then the margin for error, like I said, for those bubble teams, for those teams that probably should win their conference tournament to just ensure themselves. You know, I would put a Liberty. I'd put Liberty in that boat, you know, because you don't want to leave it to the committee. It's funny. I mean, Charleston right now bracketology, they're a 12 seed right now. So, you know, and I mean, they were ranked a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the thing is, though, it's like how Stephen F. Austin, when they made the tournament last year, the year before, they were, I want to say 31-1 when they went into the tournament. I mean, they were a low seed. I think they were like a 12 or 13 seed, if memory serves.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, back in the day, I'm not sure if you were still in school at Liberty or not, but I mean, your big team in the Big South was Winthrop. And I remember one year where Winthrop was phenomenal. And I want to say Winthrop didn't get higher than a 10. And I mean, they were absolutely phenomenal that one year. And I mean, it's like, you know, and I'm trying to look it up, but I mean, just because nobody wants Winthrop to get a 10. I mean, nobody wants, or even worse, nobody wants Winthrop getting a 13, 14, or 15. That's punishment for that high seed. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. The top 25, obviously, I think you have that level of comfort if you're in the top 25 because you know, A, you know you're going to get in. And I mean, at the end of the day, that's the important thing in the tournament. But B, I think to get your seeding on that top four line, I mean, because if you take, we've got 4 regions, and if you take the top 25, that's 24 teams right there that are in the top 4 seed lines. So that's, I think that's a good thing for them, and I think that's how people sleep well at night that are coaching.
All right, yeah. Now, for that Winthrop team, I believe that was Greg Marshall, who was still the coach there, and I want to say their star player was Torian something. I don't remember. Off the top of my head.
Let's see. Terrell Martin.
Yeah.
Terrell Martin. They were 29-5 that year in the Big South. They finished 22nd in the NCAA in the AP poll, and they were ranked 11th in the Midwest. I mean, I guess for a Big South school, that's obviously good. But, I mean, I can tell you Notre Dame probably didn't feel good about it because they were the sixth seed that had to play Winthrop. I mean, you know, so it's one of those things that if you're in a smaller conference and you take care of your business, I don't know that you should really be punished.
That's true. I can definitely agree with that. And I did take a look at some of the women's college basketball for this week. And today, actually, Villanova beat Marquette 73-54. UConn won 64-54. Texas beat West Virginia 69-56-67. Kansas State up. And Indiana beat Minnesota 77-54. Those were today's games. All righty. And then Thursday, though, for women's basketball, that was the day that was a big day because they had the UConn and Tennessee play, the rivalry restored, just with how Pat Summitt and Geno when they battled each other.
Yeah, Tennessee, definitely not the Tennessee of old, as they're 16-8, and there are two SEC schools that are undefeated, LSU, coached by Kim Mulkey, South Carolina, coached by Dawn Staley. South Carolina and UConn do meet this coming weekend, I believe, so that should be a good one. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you get Tennessee on the marquee, they're still going to be a tough team. They lost to UConn. They lost to LSU on the road. I mean, Tennessee lost to Stanford, and Tennessee lost to Virginia Tech, who's having a very good year as well. I mean, Tennessee's lost to four top 10 teams right there, lost to your Ohio State Buckeyes in the first game of the regular season as well. But yeah, I mean, Tennessee, they just got that aura about them. And you know, UConn's got that aura as well, without a doubt. I mean, if you want to know the honest truth, go ask Gino or Emma. If you want to be told that you're a good, you know, if you want to be told fluff, you might not want to talk to Gino. But, I mean, if you look at how many players UConn has produced in that have played in the WNBA, you know, we go back to Rebecca Lobo, Sue Bird, Breonna Stewart. I mean, tons and tons of them. I just hit three. But, you know, Gino's obviously doing something right. And it's a weird case because, to me, Virginia did a lot of good things in football when they were producing people like Chris Long, Brendan Albert, people like that, but it didn't translate to the college success for the team. Not the case with UConn. UConn's success is very much alive.
Yeah, this year they've struggled a little bit just because of injuries, but other than that, I mean, yeah, we could definitely go over a lot more names for UConn just with, besides you saying those three, with Breonna Stewart actually just becoming the high-level free agent that just signed in WNBA right after Candace Parker did the same thing, leaving the team she had been with, the Seattle Storm, and getting a new team. So, I mean, it really just depends. But UConn, I guess after Pat Summitt, when she passed the torch to UConn, before that happened, the rivalry between them back in the 90s, and even the early part of the 2000s, that was a game or games that whenever you would see them, you wouldn't want to get up because of how competitive they were and just how they would be able to do certain things in the games. Because even though Gino's the one who you hear him a lot, you talk to or you listen to Tennessee players, they never wanted Pat Summitt to look at them, because if Pat Summitt was looking at them, that wasn't always a good thing.
The only rivalry I think that was better than UConn and Tennessee was Duke and North Carolina. And I'm saying that the second best rivalry in college basketball in the 90s was a women's college basketball rivalry. That's high praise. And by the way, today, as we record this, it is National Women in Sports Day. So props to all those women.
Yes, indeed. And not only the ones that are still playing, but the ones who are just been able to finish their careers. One of them we could even mention is a UConn alum, Maya Moore.
Yep.
She actually just retired last week. And so just looking at all the different alumni, but I did not know that. And that is, it's always great to see the impact that women make, not only in athletics, but beyond that. Although, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's only going to be a matter of time till we have a woman coaching a men's team and at a high level. I mean, Becky Hammon is always the name that comes up. I mean, you know, you're using a podcast to talk about some women's basketball, which, you know, probably 10 or 15 years ago would have been unheard of unless you lived in Storrs, Connecticut or Knoxville, Tennessee. I mean, you know, people just did not talk about women's basketball to that degree. People didn't talk about women's sports to that degree. I mean, you had your hardcore, you had your niche people, but not on a mainstream level, except maybe when UConn and Tennessee were playing. Now we talk about, you know, South Carolina. Now we talk about the WNBA. I mean, you know, just in past years, look at how much attention the United States women's soccer team has gotten, whether you deem it right or wrong. I mean, it is attention that the women's sports, Venus and Serena Williams. So I could probably go on and on and on of all the women that have contributed positively to those girls that are watching them sitting at home. I mean, I've got two daughters. I know you got a daughter. I mean, we're, you know, girl dads and obviously fans of women, because without the women that have come before, I don't think our daughters or other women, other girls are getting those opportunities.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, one other thing I was going to mention, I don't know if you watch, you can also see it in pop culture as well, just because the TV show Name That Tune, I was watching it with my daughter. I watch it every Sunday night. We watch on Hulu. And Cheryl Swoops is one of the contestants this year because they're doing celebrity for Name That Tune.
Okay.
And so how she had been a dynamic player with the Houston Comets, how she had won two Olympic gold medals and also won an NCAA tournament with Texas Tech.
Yep.
I mean, you wouldn't see that a whole lot before.
If you asked me, and you're not, but I'm going to volunteer the information anyway. If you asked me to name like the top five women's basketball players of my generation that really helped advance the game. Okay. I mean, Cheryl Miller is on there. Rebecca Lobo is on there. And Cheryl Swoops is on there. I mean, you know, Cheryl Swoops was part of that first Houston Comets team in the WNBA that won WNBA championship. I mean, WNBA, I don't think came around until, I want to say 94, 95, somewhere in that ilk. And Houston won the first two.
It did not come around till 97.
Even better.
Yeah, because if you watch the documentary that ESPN did about the Olympics, you'll see that they actually talk about how they started the WNBA after the Olympics. And they showed how Tara DeWeaver, she took a year off or 2 years off from coaching at Stanford to be the women's coach for the national and just how they would go through all that.
There's still some work to be done, I think, on women's sports. I mean, you know, I think women's basketball has come, I don't want to say a long way because that sounds insulting, but I think women's basketball is there. You know, I think I'm a big volleyball fan. I used to be an assistant volleyball coach. But I think one sport that is lacking on a professional level, and I mentioned soccer, by the way, earlier, but I think one sport that is struggling on a professional level to get there is you've got to somehow get softball, I think, to the professional level. Because, I mean, there are a lot of good, you know, I think people ooh and ah about the,
you know, national championship for softball, the NCAA tournament, everything like that. But at the same time, what happens when the tournament ends? I mean, when the tournament ends for college basketball, we're talking about the NBA draft. But not many people talk about, you know, what happens to these women's softball players, to these women volleyball players after that college tournament's over.
That is true. I mean, I do know that I think that they have different leagues that they can do, but nothing has been established, I guess, right now.
Right.
Just because there was one pitcher from Tennessee. I can't think of her name, but I know that she went to a men's soft fast pitch league.
Well, I mean, you had Jenny Finch. Jenny Finch is probably the most famous softball player that I can think of. You know, I mean, if you go down the road here in Virginia from where I'm from, Angela Tencher did great things at Virginia Tech. But, I mean, it's like we talked about. I want to say it's Odyssey Alexander, too, at James Madison, who did great things and kind of put JMU on the map in that run a few years ago. But, yeah, like you said, you hit the nail on the head, as always, Alan. It's tough for what do you do when you go from there. And, I mean, Jenny Finch kind of got, you know, into what I would call the reality spectrum, to where she got onto all these different reality shows. And, I mean, shoot, she could strike me out in a heartbeat. But I think that's what Jenny Finch had to do, is strike while the iron's hot and find where we can capitalize on what we've got going for. So, you know, I wish all women's sports could be outstanding. And that's why in my high school, in my college and stuff, in my podcast and everything, I give women's sports just as much play as I give men. And, you know, you got to, in my opinion, if you want to see growth.
Exactly. I mean, that's why for me, I don't touch on it as much as others do, but I try to make sure that there's progression each time. And for some of the big games, I try to make sure that we talk about them, because it's always going to be important. That's why for going over the rankings, that's why it's not only just saying the men's rankings, saying the women's rankings, not only for basketball, but also like I have here for hockey. And come later on, we're going to have softball and baseball. And it just depends. But the thing is, making sure not to exclude something, because you want to make it to where people, even if they don't always see what's happening, they know that it's going on, so that later on they can think about it and progress. But, oh, hey, that's right. This is happening right now. I could watch it, or I could listen to it, or I could read an article about it.
Well, let's be honest, too. We don't want to be called pigs.
I'm not going down that road either. But the thing is, it's more planting a seed so that later on the seed can grow and be a whole, make a difference later on, just for different sports. It doesn't even have to be basketball. I mean, you got other sports. You got field hockey. You have lacrosse. Yep. You got ice hockey. It really just will depend. But the thing is, just making sure that it's mentioned, highlighted, and you get to hear what the top schools are, so that way you know that later on, if you hear about other schools, that's good. But you can't say that you haven't heard anything at all, which is something that I try to make sure that when I look through my notes, when I'm setting something up, that I check on, so I can make sure that we talk about different things, because men's basketball is highlighted on more usually, yes. Sure. But if we don't, the thing is, I want to make sure that the women's game is also mentioned as well, because it's just as important. It may not get as much money as the men's game, but it still is just as big as another form of way for revenue for the game and for more, trying to think of the right word, more
notoriety,
more exposure.
Yeah. And because, you know,
that's important.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and I'm going to close out my portion of this, because I feel the more words I say, normally I get in trouble eventually. But I think the thing about it is you got to know who the president of the United States is. If you just want to talk intelligently, you got to, you know, kind of like, I don't want to say no pop culture, but, you know, be well-rounded, be well-educated. And women's sports is not just a thing of, like, in my opinion, saying, oh, yeah. I mean, it's part of a well-rounded sports fan education. And let's be honest, when we're sports fans, if somebody says, hey, how's Tennessee doing this year in women's basketball? We don't want to go and say, oh, you know, when Pat Summitt coached Tennessee, they won blah, 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 national titles. Hey, they're having a down year, or hey, they're having an up year, or hey, South Carolina is a team to beat, stuff like that. I mean, just be educated. That's my main thing. Be educated.
Of course. And I mean, with that being said, let's go through some of the rankings now, okay?
I'm ready.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the men's rankings first, then we're going to go through the women's, then we'll do the same for ice hockey, and then the last thing we'll do is we're going to go through the wrestling rankings, just because there had been a big match between number one Penn State, number two Iowa last week, which Penn State did prevail on, which it was one of the, I was watching that tournament, and you could tell that Penn State's going to be ready come when the wrestling tournament happens. But that's something to look forward to in a later episode. Right now, for the AP 25, this is going to change after what happened in Tennessee tonight, but Purdue is number one, Tennessee is number two, Houston's number three, Alabama's number four, Arizona's number five, Virginia's number six, Kansas State's number seven, Kansas is number eight, UCLA is number nine, Texas is number 10, Baylor's number 11, Gonzaga's number 12, Iowa State's number 13, Marquette is number 14, TCU is number 15, Xavier's number 16, Providence is number 17, St. Mary's is number 18, Florida Atlantic is number 19, Clemson is number 20, Indiana's number 21, San Diego State's number 22, Miami's number 23, UConn's number 4, Auburn's 25. Which, for the men right now, I would say the majority of what you just heard, unless it's a automatic bid, you're looking at probably the lowest, I would say, for any seed there is probably a 13 seed. Yep. But we're just going to wait and see that in a few weeks. Let's go ahead and hit the women's ranking, shall we?
Hit me.
All right. We got South Carolina undefeated at number one. We have Stanford at number two. We have LSU at number three, undefeated as well. Indiana's number four. UConn's number five. Iowa's number six. Utah's number seven. Maryland's number eight. Notre Dame's number nine. Ohio State's number 10. North Carolina's number 11. Iowa State's number 12. Virginia Tech's number 13. UCLA's number 14. NC State's number 15, Duke's number 16, Gonzaga's number 17, Michigan's number 18, Villanova's number 19, Oklahoma's number 20, Middle Tennessee State's number 21, Arizona's number 22, Florida State's number 23, Texas is number 24, and South Florida's number 25. And so, I mean, when you're looking at the women's basketball for the top 25, the only teams I would think they could have a possible lower seed at the moment would be Middle Tennessee and South Florida. Even though South Florida being in the, I think they're in the Big East right now.
Right. Well, and the other thing, too, is you've got to think, I mean, if you look at the big team in the Big East, obviously, no questions asked, it's UConn. So, I mean, yeah, you're going to have to figure out something if you're in one of those conferences, because if you're in a conference with an absolute powerhouse, I mean, that's unfortunately probably two losses mm-hmm. that you have right there if you play them twice. So, yeah, it should be should be interesting. South Florida actually in the AAC now. They got out of the Big East, thankfully for them. Yeah. So, but hey, I mean, you know, when you're 10-0 in the AAC and your next best team is Tulsa at 6-3, I mean, it's going to be hard. I'm in total agreement with you. It's going to be hard to get into a good way there because your overall record 21-4, which is good, but that's when the committee is going to start looking at who have you beat. They played six teams in the top 25 and they're 2-4.
Yeah.
One of the losses, by the way, coming to your Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yes, sir. No, Ohio State had a heck of a year to start the year till they, finally met Caitlin Clark in the Iowa Hawkeyes, but you know what? It happens. That being said, let's jump into men's college hockey right now. We have Minnesota at number one, Quinnipiac at number two, Boston University number three, Denver number four, St. Cloud State number five, number six is Michigan, number seven is Ohio State, number eight is Harvard, number nine is Penn State, number 10 is Western Michigan, number 11 is Cornell. Number 12 is Michigan Tech. Number 13 is Minnesota State. Number 14 is UConn. Number 15 is UMass Lowell. Number 16 is Omaha. Number 17 is Notre Dame. Number 18 is Merrimack. Number 19 is Michigan State. And number 20 is Northeastern. And real quick, if you want to talk about different teams being able to succeed in a sport, I think that the two sports in college sports that you will be able to see that are hockey and lacrosse.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because, I mean, we're just for what I just was read right here, I could count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 7 schools that when you look at basketball or football, you would never see them toward the rankings, at least in definitely not in division FBS, possibly right. FCS, but still it could be a struggle for that. You'd more see it maybe in division two or division three.
Yeah, Cornell normally does not roll off the tongue in basketball or anything else like that. But like you said, I mean, in ice hockey and lacrosse, they roll off the tongue big time.
That and Denver's another school you could say that for.
Well, and I mean, any of the hockey teams, you know, I mean, again, Rome wasn't built in a day type of thing. Those hockey teams took a while to get there. So let's say that somebody else wanted to just, you know, start developing a hockey team. Hypothetically, let's say it's like a Georgia Tech or something like that. It's going to take some time to get where you want to be, probably, because everybody else in the schools or in the conferences, you know, Ohio State didn't get to be number seven overnight. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I'm the greatest college hockey expert in the world, but I know you got to lay that foundation. And you know, for those newer schools, if somebody looked at the polls and said Denver, I didn't even know that was a college. Well, yeah, and they've got a very good hockey team because I don't want to say that's what they're known for, but that's kind of one of their specialties, like you were talking about.
Absolutely, that and for women's hockey, Ohio State's number one, Yale is number two, Minnesota's number three, Colgate's number four. Northeastern's number five, Quinnipiac's number six, Minnesota Duluth is number seven, Wisconsin is number eight, Clarkson is number nine, Penn State is number 10, Providence is number 11, Cornell is number 12, Vermont's number 13, St. Cloud State's number 14, and UConn rounds out the top 15 for the women's college hockey. I mean, that's still, you can definitely see the difference just for how it is. But I mean, that's in some ways, that's a testament to show that I wouldn't say fairness per se, but you see the other teams are able to thrive in different sports competitively, and you're just able to watch them shine, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think the popularity of women's hockey is there yet, but it probably should be getting there. And that's where those young ladies are going to have to go to that, you know, I don't want to say special school, but that's where they're having to pick one of those top 25 teams to go to. Interesting little fact. When I was doing high school around here, there used to be a guy from Alta Vista that would go play hockey, and it was like travel hockey, like you would have for any travel sport and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Do you know the closest team he went to play with that was actually helped him, that was good? Now, he lived in Alta Vista, Virginia. So you know where that is. That's just
yes.
Mm-hmm. South of Lynchburg, north of Danville by about probably 30, 40 miles.
I would say, let's see, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Really?
But still, I mean, you know, like if you think of like, if somebody in my neck of the woods wants to play travel basketball, travel soccer, travel baseball, they're going to go to Lynchburg. Maybe on the outside shot, they'll go to Roanoke. But it just shows me, to play travel hockey at a higher level, you're going to have to go to Greensboro, North Carolina, from Alta Vista, Virginia, which is a bit of a hike, in my opinion. But that's just weird to me. Like, there's no travel, you know, sports for XYZ in a 50-mile radius.
Well, I mean, one thing you have to remember, though, when I was going to school at Liberty, the Iceplex was being built, but before that was built, they were driving to Roanoke for practices and games.
Yep.
They were doing that. So, I mean, when you're talking about that, I understand about that, just because I remember I went to one game, and it just... that was a hike going to it. It was worth it, and it was a lot of fun. But going all the way there and then coming back, because I had a friend who was on the team, I was like, wow.
You're like, you guys have to do this all the time?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was something that I definitely remember very well. Well, Bob, what I'll do is let's hit wrestling real quick, the rankings for it, and then we will be finished for this week. I do thank you for coming on again, and I definitely want to get you back on and see about us making this more of a occurrence, as long as it works out for us both, and setting it up to where we can make sure that we have our fun looking at the rankings, but also making sure that the teams that need to get talked about are talked about, and making a difference here, sure, having our fun for college sports. So for wrestling, Penn State's number one, Iowa's number two, Iowa State's number three, Ohio State's number four, Cornell's number five, Michigan's number six, NC State is number seven, Missouri's number eight, Virginia Tech's number nine, Nebraska's number 10, Oklahoma State's number 11, Minnesota's number 12, Northwestern's number 13, Northern Iowa's number 14, Wisconsin's number 15, North Dakota State's number 16, South Dakota State is number 17, Pittsburgh is number 18, Arizona State's number 19, Appalachian State's number 20, Illinois's number 21, Indiana's number 22. Rutgers is number 23. Michigan State's number 24. And Penn is number 25. So that'll bring that.
You know, one thing real quick, too, about mm-hmm. that is a lot of what I heard you say was Iowa, Penn State, you know, you talked about those Big Ten schools. I mean, the thing about it is a lot of those people that are into wrestling have to come from one of those schools and branch out. I mean, one name I think of off the top is Kevin Dresser, who is now at Iowa State. He came from Iowa. He coached at Grundy High School, then at Christiansburg High School. Christiansburg was number four in the nation at one point under Dresser's leadership. Then Dresser went to Virginia Tech and really got Virginia Tech back on the map, and then goes to Iowa State. So it's just funny that a guy from Iowa, and he was a national champion at 142, Dresser goes from Iowa to a little school in Virginia called Grundy. And if you don't know about Grundy, Grundy is always, always, always good at wrestling. Christiansburg, I didn't never heard about in wrestling until Dresser got there. Then Dresser lays the foundation at Virginia Tech and then goes back to Iowa State, which is Iowa State's not a schmo school either. I mean, Iowa gets all the attention, but Iowa State had Kale Sanderson, who was a phenomenal, phenomenal wrestler. So it just shows, though, if you leave where you're from, you can lay roots to other sports or to your sport in other areas of the world.
Well, I can give you another example. Unfortunately, Kyle Snyder, the reigning gold medalist in wrestling, he had gone to Ohio State. And so he went from Ohio State after he finished and graduated. He had been training at Ohio State. He went to Penn State. And that's where he is now, as he is still working on his wrestling career. So as he's getting ready for the next Olympics.
I love how everything comes back to Ohio State.
I mean, the thing is, no matter when we look at the rankings, you can see that they've made it to where they're very well-rounded.
I love how everything comes back to Ohio State. It's just phenomenal.
Well, I mean, hey, when you're an Ohio State fan, but when you're able to be a sports fan and you see how, no matter what sport you're watching, usually you see that they make an impact, either good or bad. So it'll really just depend. But yes, no, I'll give you that one, sir. But
I can't wait till we have the Greg Oden episode.
Oh, yep, that one. That one I may have to come on your podcast for. We'll see about that. But if we were going to try to get a hold of you outside of here, sir, how would we do that? Social media.
Yeah, go to Twitter. The Sports Buffet is where I do a lot of my stuff. You can also find me on YouTube, The Sports Buffet, The Sports Buffet Podcast on Facebook, or just, get some smoke signals, start waving them, and I'll eventually probably find you.
And I understand you can find me at allen.west46, or you can see me on Twitter, allen.allenfwest. But as always, sir, thank you for your time. Next week, we're going to have Tyler Turner on for the Senior Bowl recap, NFL preview for the picks that are going to be drafted, and also just a signing day kind of finale. But I appreciate your time as always, sir, and thank you for helping me to make sure that we not only hit the important things, but also the reminder for what day was it again? What is today, you said, sir?
No, I'm sorry. You threw a curveball at me for a second. I'm like, uh-oh, I think it's Wednesday. National Women in Sports Day.
Exactly. So for the women who are in sports and who have finished their careers and gone on to other bigger and better things, we thank you. We salute you. All righty. Thank you. And this has been the Top 25 Rundown of Sportscast. Have a good night.